I spread a song so you can sing along with my special guest or two.
Or two.
You like to sing and dance, and this podcast, by chance, explores musicals for you. Theme song, yeah.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of Life's But a Song, a podcast that likes to live in the land of musicals. I'm your host, John, and with me today is the OG bestie of the pod. It's Lauren Gismondi, everyone. Woo!
I made it. We made it.
We did it, Joe.
We did it, little Joe.
How are you doing today?
I'm doing all right. A beautiful sunshiny day. I'm very happy. It's all good. How are you?
I'm doing well. And we're here today to talk about the 1943 movie Cabin in the Sky. The screenplay is by Joseph Schrank, music by Vernon Duke, lyrics by John Latouche. And it was directed by Vincente Minnelli. Busby Berkeley did an uncredited directing of Shine, which we'll get into that. And according to IMDb, a compulsive gambler dies during a shooting, but he'll receive a second chance to reform himself and to make up with his worried wife. So... I've never seen this before. I'm assuming you have because you picked it.
No, I know the music. I know the musical, but I have never seen the movie. And it came up on a list. It's an Oscar-nominated film from the World War II era. And that period of movies has always fascinated me. And thus, here we are. So actually, today is the first time I have seen it beginning to end.
Today is the first time I've ever seen it beginning to end. But have you... So you know the stage musical, but have you seen it?
No. It's very rarely produced. Like, if you look into the history of it, it's just not... It just hasn't really resurfaced very often.
I only ask because Encores did it in 2016.
Yes, they did it in 2016. So. I think there was another reading at the 14th Street Y as a fundraiser as well in the early 2000s.
Yeah.
Other than that, that's it.
So the musical, since we're here, let's give a little history lesson. It opened on Broadway in 1940. It ran for, I just saw it before too. It ran for 156 performances, closing in 1941, which I think at the time was a pretty long contract.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a sizable, it's a nice little chunk of time.
All things considered. And Ethel Waters and Rex Ingram were the original Petunia and Lucifer Jr. respectively, and they reprised their roles in the movie. Mm-hmm. So with the movie, and obviously the stage version, I was like, I wrote down, it seems Has-Been Hotel and The Good Place borrowed some things from this. Because the whole point is Lil Joe, our lead, goes through a dream sequence to rip the Band-Aid off. When it was revealed at the end that everything was a dream, that majority of the movie was a dream sequence, I almost threw my laptop against a wall. I was expecting that they were going to go to the pearly gates and that was the end.
Well, that's what happens, I believe, in the stage production. Is that's the way it ends, is them crowing up into heaven. I'm 95% of the way sure. And obviously, I've never seen it, so I don't really know. I was exposed to Happiness is a Thing Called Joe as a teenager, that song. So that's where my connection to this musical began, this movie musical, I should say.
You are correct. They do, in the show, they do die.
Yes.
And go to heaven.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Yeah, because I was a little miffed by the Wizard of Oz. It was all a dream thing.
Well, but it also, starts with the tornado as well.
Yeah, exactly. I'm like, God damn it, you guys. Fucking Wizard of Oz, here we are. But it also, it harps, there's other musicals that pull from this idea as well. Carousel, same kind of thing. Damn Yankees. I mean, there's a little too, there's a too many close associations with Damn Yankees and this and Cabin in the Sky for me personally.
The musical even says that it's based off of L'Homme, which is what Carousel is based off of as well.
Yeah. There's another book there too by Lynn Root, I think, that's also who wrote this screenplay, I think, as well.
Yeah, the musical is based on a story, Little Joe by Lynn Root, as well as The Green Pastures by Mark Connelly. So it pulls from things, but what's really fascinating is that it's an all black cast, which I am very surprised even in 1943 they did an all black cast. Because the stage, I mean, even on stage, it was an all black cast. Yes, everyone else was white behind the scenes, but
I mean, my favorite story that I read about the rehearsal process was that it was three Russians that were on the creative team, like George
yes.
Balanchine, and like the three of the, I forget who the other two's names are, who were.
It's George Balanchine, Vernon Duke, and Boris Aronson. He was
Yes.
the designer.
The three of them arguing in Russian in the middle of rehearsals while the rest of the cast has sort of stood there just like, what is happening? And then all of a sudden, Ethel Waters would go, is everything okay? And then finally, they would all look at her and be like, yes, and then carry on rehearsal. What? What? And in my mind, I'm like, I think it's this isn't this musical and this movie musical has such a fascinating history because of like the different influences that it's pulling from, but also the creative process. And it's just, it's wild, man. It is wild. But man, I enjoyed this movie. I really liked this movie. This was not a
Yeah.
bad pick for me personally.
For me though, I find this though with a lot of classic Hollywood movies that it's a little slow paced for me.
That's fair.
When
It's a
we
lot, there's
get
a
to
lot of
the
setup.
when we get to the book scenes, you know, it's very dry. It's very slow paced, but they're giving you a shit ton of information. So it is very important, but for me, especially, you know, watching this in the wee hours of the morning, I'm like, I am not 100% awake for this right now. I still liked it. It's still like there's a lot of things, and it does move a little fast, but also, you know, when they're talking and it's good. It's good. So Shine. I want to. I kind of tease this.
Let's go ahead. Yes, let's start there.
So I see Busby Berkeley as a name, and we did. Was it Girl Crazy that he did the one number with Judy Garland and what's his name? Yes, that yes, where that was the big number, and he got fired because he went over
He
budget and
blew the
everything.
budget, yeah.
Yeah. So I see, before I even watching this movie, I see Busby Berkeley's name and I'm like, I'm expecting a show stopper. Now, I was expecting like a huge ensemble, confetti cannons, maybe a horse or two, I don't know. But what we got was a little toned down for Busby Berkeley's reputation. It still was amazing. Like, honestly, if they were to revive this, I would love to see Leslie Odom Jr. play that character.
Oh yeah, he'd be great as Domino.
He can move, he can sing, and it's just that one number that he's in,
Exactly. It's a
really.
princess track with the
Yeah.
most like pivotal, really like a very like a kingpin character, sorry, linchpin character, where like without him, that character, none of the events take place.
Right. Yes, 'cause he is the antagonist on the human plane where he shoots Joe and you don't see it, which I was like, you know what, good for you movie for not like going down what would be the Guys and Dolls path where we see like the gambling ballet and everything, and so it was all off screen, which was very smart. It might also be because it's 1940s and like there's a moment later when Little Joe and what's the harlot's name? Georgia
Georgia
Brown,
Brown.
like they kiss in the chair, but you don't see it
Yeah.
because he's clearly being an adulterer. And I was like, that's fascinating that even adultery in 1940s movies you don't see.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to talking about the invisible scene partners later on. I can't wait to get into that. So anyway, so we're talking about Busby Berkeley and
Busby
Shine.
Berkeley, yes.
So my question is this before or after the girl crazy debacle?
Oh,
Because that would be interesting to determine whether or not he sort of knew, okay, I can't be just throwing money all over the place. Because I think Girl Crazy came first.
I think so too. Hold on, I'm checking. I'm
Yeah,
checking.
let's do this. Is when we know one day we have a budget, we'll get somebody to research for us on this
While we're
podcast.
talking,
Listen, that's what really happens in radio shows. If there is somebody, a person, that's what their job is, they just do the research while we're running our mouths.
so Cabin in the Sky is 43.
Yes.
No, Girl Crazy is the same year.
Okay, maybe he didn't have that much time.
Right before this was For Me and My Gal,
Okay.
which I did already.
You
I did
probably
not do
did.
this one.
Oh,
Wait,
okay.
did I? Hold on.
I don't know. Hold for technical
Yes,
research.
I did this one because it's yes. Okay. Yes, I've done For Me and My Gal with Sierra. Oh boy. I've done so many episodes. It's easy for me to forget.
That's why I was like, I'm sure at this point it might be easier to assume you have done something as opposed to have not, because you started this podcast in 2021, right? And we're in
Yeah.
2024 now. It's been over
And
3 years.
with the introduction of Second Chance Theater, I'm like, have I done this episode once or twice now? I don't know.
It's true. It's true. That's when you get the session when you got to break out the spreadsheet and
Oh, I've got
conquer. Okay.
so many spreadsheets.
Okay. So anyway. So all right. So that is helpful information, because chances are maybe that's part of the reason it wasn't a massive production number, is because whatever happened at Girl Crazy happened, and then he was like, okay, well, obviously I don't want to piss off every studio executive, so here we go.
So let's do a little like it wasn't really tap, it was like, but it was tap in a
It's
way.
Soft Shoe. There's a bit of Soft the Shoe in this movie, in that song, and then the other one is a Taking a Chance on Love, I think.
No. Yeah, oh, you know what? Yes, you are correct. My
I thought so. Because
apologies.
I thought it was weird, because I'm like, it's a love song and he's just like going in hard.
Going all ham with the tapping. So, a ha Happiness Is a Thing Called Joe was written for the movie, and I
Yes.
honestly thought that should have been a little more upbeat than what it is, because I guess Ethel Waters is more of like that kind of jazzy, like smooth style, but I was the when we got to that point in the movie, it felt like it should have been like the big group number, you know, like I can't think of anything right now to compare it to, but it should have been like a we're singing and happy and everything's gonna be fine as I do my Muppet arms.
I understand where you're coming from. I don't know. It's not in her character. Like, she's the calm, cool, collected one, even in the face of some really scary events. She remains pretty calm, cool, and collected because she's so rooted in her faith. Like, that's really what, it's a cautionary tale about gambling, but it's also a story of faith. Like, what it means to believe in something greater than yourself and putting that trust in that things are going to work out. So I think, yes, it could have used some more oomph. I'm not going to say that I agree with that. I do. But a part of me also understands, like, from a character perspective, that's just not who she is.
Oh, of
That's who
course.
Georgia Brown is, for sure. And that's when we get Honey in the Honeycomb later on with the
Oh,
late great
yeah.
Lena Horne. Let us not forget, like,
Oh,
that's, I
Lena
think, the other
Horne.
reason I really like this particular movie. Like, the cast is incredible, and there's lots of really fun cameos, and we get a real bass baritone from the Reverend, which I think that's part of the reason I like older musicals sometimes is because so many of the stuff that's written being written now contemporarily is all like baritone and tenor heavy. So to get some real like low meaty voices, I'm like, give it to me all day. I'm so happy.
But then we get Eddie Rochester Anderson as Lil Joe Jackson. And that song that he, and I'm going to use this term loosely, sings. It's like, well, so when he joins in Happiness Is a Thing Called Joe, I was like, oh, I wasn't expecting you to sing now. Like I was like, it felt like the songs were written for Ethel, were written for
Sure, with her in
Petunia.
mind.
Yes. Because she's more of the singer, and he naturally has that raspy voice. So, oh, it when he sings life is full of consequences, it was like part of me wished that what's his name, John W. Bubbles, who plays Domino, I was like, what if he played Little Joe Jackson, just like switch it up a little bit. And part of me was like, oh, they could have just dubbed him, but because Eddie Rochester Anderson has a specific voice, you can't easily dub him.
The only way they could have dubbed him is if they had Louis Armstrong do it.
Oh,
And Louis Armstrong is in this movie.
right, he's the
He's the
trumpeter.
trumpeter. He's Satan's right hand, one of Satan's right hand man's is.
He has a few lines too, so you're like,
I know.
so he's not just playing the trumpet. I mean, he
No. This is like he's just break like he's breaking like making the transition at this point in his career. From being just known as a jazz musician to being known more as a like more all around performer. I mean, right after this, I think he goes on to do Porgy and Bess with Ella Fitzgerald, which is one of my favorite recordings of that opera ever.
Like on
Ever.
stage, you mean? Because he's not,
Yeah.
I can tell you he's not in the movie. He's not
No, he's
in
not,
that
but he
movie.
it's but he's yeah, they do it on stage. I have the recording of it. It's beautiful. A very, very, very different take on the opera because they got real jazzers singing it. So if they would have dubbed it with Louis Armstrong, but then the thing is people who know Louis Armstrong's voice would be like, why didn't you
Right.
just cast Louis Armstrong as Little Joe? And then, you know, you get into this whole rigmarole fight about all this crap. It's not crap, but, you know, like we get into a real discussion of just, you know, what does it mean to, you know, cover somebody's voice in that way? You know, which we've
And
talked about
then,
on this podcast before.
oh, hundreds of times, every time it comes up. The other big cameo in this is Duke Ellington
Yeah, and his
is
whole
in,
band.
and his whole band are at the saloon,
Jim Henry's, yes.
the bar.
Yeah, well, it's a juke joint.
It's interesting because like they have the swinging doors as if it's a old Western saloon, but I think that was a thing in the 40s because I'm pretty sure I've seen that in other movies that are set in,
Yes.
because this is supposed to
Yes.
be for like present day ish.
Yeah, it's contemporary. And I just got back from New Orleans a few weeks ago, and that scene did look like Preservation Hall. It looked like the Mahogany Jazz joint that I went to. Like a bunch of the places look very similar to that. So they did a decent job replicating, like whoever the set designers were, did a decent job replicating what those sorts of places are like, where you go to hear music, dance. Oh God, the Green Mile in Chicago, same exact thing. Where like you walk in, it's a place where that is you're going there to socialize. Whether you're gambling, whether you're drinking, whether you're there to dance, hear the music, all of that stuff. Yeah.
I feel like that's in the bar at the end of Carmen Jones as well.
Yep.
Like it is a thing. And so, But to me, I was just, my not awake brain was just like, oh, we're in a saloon now.
I mean, we are somewhere in the American South. They don't specify so much where I think they are in the South. In the musical, I know they talk about wanting to move up to Virginia with all the money that he wins, but that obviously that doesn't happen. But so I don't really know where in the American South this takes place,
I think
truthfully.
it's supposed to just be American South.
It's that it is that generic. Okay.
I think what's also fascinating is like, okay, I'm gonna pull your pin out right now. The forces of heaven and hell are vying for Lil Joe's soul. That
Yes.
is basically the movie.
Yes.
And they manipulate him, they manipulate others, they manipulate everything to the point where it makes you wonder like about religion and things like
Oh, and
that.
free will, really.
Yeah, because you're I'm like, do they have nothing else to do besides fuck this, with this one person?
Apparently not.
And like, why
There's
is
a
he?
war going on, but we're going to fight over this one guy's soul.
Well,
Yes.
yeah, and there it's fascinating too because the only reason why heaven is involved is because of Petunia praying so hard. And it's like, okay, well, I mean, we've seen her at church, we've seen her pray a bunch of times. So we're to assume that she is a force of quote unquote good and
Right.
everything. And so when she turns, it seems so out of left field.
You mean at the end of the movie?
At the end of the movie, yeah, when she comes into the gin joint and it is all like hussied up and everything, and she starts dancing with Domino, and she's like, "Little Joe, you're enjoy my sloppy seconds, Lena Horne," like basically. And I'm like, this feels like you talked about musically with what was that song? Happiness is a thing called Joe. It makes sense for her character and everything. But at this moment, I was like, I don't understand what's going on here.
Well, I think she was using herself. She was trying to make him jealous.
Yeah,
Like
and then
that,
she
you
realized
know.
she fucked up too,
Yeah.
being like, "Oh, I didn't hear you out. Oops."
That's after they she dies. And
Yeah.
they do say that too. And he's just like, "Why what you're just coming to?" That's why it's a great little scene. He's like, "You're just coming to understand that now?" And he's like, "We're dead. What good does it do us, really?" And she just says, "Well, that was my human mind. My human mind couldn't get it." Which, I mean, I have been, I'll speak for myself. I've been in that world, in that state of being where you get so wrapped up in your own thoughts and your own feelings. And I mean, she just walked in on the guy, her husband, in the arms of, in the middle of an affair. And so,
Which has been
yeah, she.
established that he had an affair with her
Yeah, more than
already.
once. And now she's like, "Good, oh good, you did it, and now you're doing it in my yard. Get out." We all have our limits, and she got pushed to hers.
Perspective. Because it's one of those things that always happens in movies. It never happens in real life.
Often, no.
Never happens in real life where, as part of the ploy from the devil, Lil Joe wins some sort of sweepstakes.
Yeah, he bet on the right horse. They gave him $50,000.
Oh, it was a horse race. I thought it was like what was the thing that Ed McMahon would do where he would show up at your house with a giant check?
Oh, I know what you're talking about. Yes.
Yes, that's what I thought it was. The
I thought
homeowner
so
sweepstakes or
too.
something.
Yes. I thought
Where's the
that
little
was it
assistant that
too,
we
but
need to look this up while we talk?
exactly. Yes,
God
yes,
damn
yes. No,
it.
but I know exactly what, Random House, like Random House does it. I know what you're talking
Yes.
about. Yes. So, the Random House sweepstakes, that's what it's called, I think. Anyway, it doesn't matter. doesn't matter. No, but then at one point when they're actually reading the letter, Lena Horne uses, like, you bet on the right horse, and now that horse is the favorite to win.
Well, that's for books, Random House Sweepstakes.
PCH. It's PCH sweepstakes. I just don't remember what the PCH stands for. Because I can see it in my brain. Oh my God, we're getting old.
Publishers Clearing House.
PCH, yeah.
That's it.
I
Ooh,
was
it's still going. You could win
It is.
$2.5 million,
Yeah.
which you
Only if
only
you.
get 1.25 after taxes, probably.
Yeah.
So everyone, go and apply for Publishers Clearing House, because that's what I mean. That's honestly what I thought it was.
I thought so too. I
I didn't
really thought so
understand about the
too.
horse, because I do remember them saying there's a you about a horse or something, and I was like, I guess this is like a like some sort of thing. I don't know. But
Well,
she.
neither of us gamble on horses, so I think that's also why we have no clue what
True.
any of this means.
He wins, but he wins $50,000, which is huge for 1940s, because we're coming. Yeah, we're in between the wars at this moment. America is.
No, it is World War II.
Oh, it is. Oh, yeah. Oh yeah, because by the time this movie came out, America
Rory
definitely
was
joined the
already in the
war.
war. But when the
But when the
movie was
show
written,
happened, it was before America got involved in the war.
because the war started in 1939, and we didn't get involved until I think 1941 is when Pearl Harbor happened, in December of 1941. Yeah, it sounds right in my brain.
This is
Yeah.
not a history podcast, everyone.
It's not, but I'm trying real hard.
But besides the point, so he wins this bet on the horse, and he says, "Oh, I'm gonna buy Petunia anything that she wants and everything." And because Lena Horne is there trying to be a home wrecker, he's like, "And I'm gonna buy you a bracelet and some furs as a thank you for bringing me this ticket." But only Petunia hears
The
that
second half
part,
of that, yeah.
minus the as a thank you gift. And it's like, okay, so this is very Shakespearean in a way.
Yes.
Yeah. And she breaks, but like her when she's broken at the saloon later, it's a lot.
I liked it. I'm like, you go, girl. I'm like, you set that pussy trap. You go. But that's exactly what's, listen, that's what the women are doing in this movie, except maybe Lily, or and Jeannie at the very beginning. But all the two leading women are just setting pussy traps left and right. Now, Ethel doesn't need to at the beginning because she's like, well, she's happily married, even if he's a rascal, a rat. He calls himself a rat. But, then she realizes, like, okay, this hasn't really worked. And now I want half my money. I want half
Yeah.
now I she is smart. She went out and educated herself. And let's bear in mind, Joe, we're pretty sure, that Joe can't read. He gets the telegram, the cablegram, and he can't really even understand what he's looking at, which is why he
Right.
throws it
So
like on the ground. So she is the brains in this relationship.
Petunia, yeah, definitely Petunia
Petunia
is the
is the
more
brains.
well-educated, and it's fascinating too that a 40s movie is talking about divorce without saying the word divorce, but they are talking about it.
Oh, yes, it's very the things that they're talking about it without talking about a lot of things in this movie, which
Yeah.
I really kind of appreciate because it's kind of nice to see it done. Because they're showing, they're not telling, which is what I like.
Is there what's another one? I can't think of it off
Well,
the
the
top of my head.
adultery bit
Oh,
is the
right,
first
yes.
time, and the second time again we come into the we you don't see the gunshot. We hear the guns. We don't actually see the violence. We see the aftermath when he's like falling over at the at Jim Henry's. So that's one example. The adultery is the other, and then what we just talked about, which is the
Divorce.
pending divorce. Yes. So they do a lot of showing, not telling, which is kind of, I appreciate that.
Yeah, Cause, well, also they, I don't know if they would say I want a divorce, like if that was a common phrase back.
It wasn't. That was like people stayed in bad marriages, especially if they were of any type of like strict religious upbringing, because of the potential onslaught of sin. Sin! Satan!
But let's get more into our imaginary friends.
I love imaginary scene partners. I love in these invisible scene partners. They make me so happy.
So when do we meet Lucius? Because the 'cause when he when Joe meets Lucifer Jr. for the first time, he says, "You look like my friend Lucius." But I was like, I don't remember meeting anybody named Lucius unless.
Mike, that was what was interesting, because the Reverend doubles, I believe, as the
Yes.
general, right? I was like, that voice is, it's unmistakable. So I'm like, I'm not, I guess I wasn't paying that much attention to
As
the opening
does the deacon
credits.
as well. The deacon is one of the, I think the deacon is the one that goes,
Comes and goes in the
comes and
beginning.
goes. Yeah. Like he, like the general's like, make haste. Go talk
Go talk
to,
to God.
yeah. But I don't think we met Lucius.
Well, that's the thing. I'm like wondering if like the guys who were at, who take him away to go
Oh, at
play
the
with
beginning?
Domino, if I think, I mean, it would make sense to me that they're, it's the same group of people.
I got so far into the movie and I already forgot the beginning at that point.
At the very beginning, when Petunia is desperate to try and get Joe to repent his sins
Oh no,
at
that
the,
part I
and I,
remember.
at, yeah, but that's what happens, is he never actually makes it up to, you know,
To
up to the top,
repent.
up, you know, he never makes it to repent. He goes outside first, and yeah, then it's because his friends are whistling at him through the church window. They found him. His friends, air quotes.
His friends, yeah. But it's such a theatrical device, the invisible friends. Like, it's so. I wonder if a lot of what's happening reads better on stage, because I'm not sure if the transfer to film was a complete success. For this movie. Like they incorporate still a lot of theatrical things that you rely on a live audience instead of a camera. So, like the Invisible Friends moments. I feel like if it was to be remade now, they'd be literally invisible, like with green screen and CGI and all that. We see the outline of them and a glow of some sort.
Or just their voices.
Oh, like in It's a Wonderful Life with the stars lighting up and it's their voice. That would be interesting.
And so the only person who can actually see them is only when they're like dead or asleep. That's the only time you hear that they become visible, you know,
Because
when in the dream, in a dream, or when you've already passed.
they play as the angel and devil. Like little cartoon angel and devil that you see in cartoons. But you don't see them super teeny tiny on somebody's shoulders. They are, you know,
They're
actual size.
full
Yeah.
size humans. Yes.
I really
Yes.
liked the how they spiked the hair of the devils to make it look like horns. I was like, that's pretty smart. Because when you first meet Lucifer Jr. in the silhouette, in shadow, I should say, you see him with horns, and I was just like, what is how I at first I thought it was only the silhouette had the horns because of the way that the actor was positioned, but then he moved and I was like, oh, you spiked his hair. That's pretty cool. Like they could have gone full ham and done like the goatee, the pointy goatee and a tail and things like that. But I like that they made it literally like opposing sides of a war. Like they are, yeah. Like you said, it's a war that's happening between heaven and hell. So they are generals and lieutenants that. I also noticed on the on the general, he has epaulets that have wings that have feathers on it, and I was like, it's his wings.
They really, I mean, the attention to detail is really nice. It is really, really nice in this movie. The like even like the way they costumed Ethel, always being in some sort of like a floral pattern. Petunia always wearing like florally patterns, that kind of stuff. Like that's the stuff I pick up on. I'm like, oh, this is cute. This is pretty.
Though this isn't really a flat, but the downside of it, of this movie is that it's in black and white. I wish it was all like I could see the colors. I could see like, you know, what they chose to dress the invisible friends in, and like what detail colors they use, because you can guess, but that's no fun.
And even if we were trying to guess, we know that with color theory, when you shift everything to black and white, what you see in black and white isn't always going to be what you assume it is when we put color back in
Yeah, because like
because of the
that,
cameras picking
because
up
like
color.
Petunia's dress, it could be bronze, it could be pink, it could be whatever, and you're like, but what color is it? Like what was the designer's idea? I was assuming it was bronze, but like the devils, like their costumes could be blue for all we know.
It's true, yeah. I liked their robes in that one scene when all of them are trying to come up with the scheme of how they're going to get little Joe and they're all in their bathrobes. That was choice. I'm like, I see. We're just lounging around hell. This is great. Maybe I want to go to hell. They have bathrobes. That looks comfy.
Yeah, heaven has so many stairs.
There's
It's
so many
too
stairs.
many stairs. And it's so like twisty and turny. I just give me an escalator.
Yes,
You said something about a chariot. Where's my chariot?
exactly. Where's my chariot? Oh, I see. Okay. Never mind. Oh gosh.
The other thing that also impressed me of this movie is that they were able to actually sing Happy Birthday. Like, that's usually a thing that doesn't happen because of the copyright of that.
They didn't finish the song though.
You're
Because
right.
she starts crying and he's all like, "Why are you sad?" She's like, "No, these are happy tears. Let's
But they
sing the
sang
song."
enough of it that I feel like they owed the copyright.
Maybe or maybe not. I mean, who the heck
It
knows?
was it's just something that I'm like, you never see this, and you still don't, I think, to this day, actually see people sing Happy Birthday to you and all that because of copyright, everyone. It's not public domain. It
I wonder
should
if it ever
be.
will be. I was like, it should be.
At some point, it's gotta
At
be.
some point, yeah, I don't know. I don't know. That's wild. When you think about it, that is pretty wild. Oh, the other thing that I was like, ooh, this is scandalous, is when we see Lena Horne's back and it's just her bra, like the clips of her bra when we first see her. I was like, oh, scandalous, bra.
And like, and I like the way that Irene, welcome back,
Hey, girl.
styled her, because she is still trampy and floozy and all those things, but like she's very modest. I mean, for today's standards, probably back in the 40s, it was trampy to have like a lower neckline that shows a little cleavage and a tight skirt or whatever. And then she gets the furs and the gowns, and you're like, oh, it looks beautiful on you, Lena Horne, but you're still a tramp. You're still playing the tramp, excuse me.
Exactly. You're still playing the other woman, singing songs about sex. Nobody can tell me that Honey in the Honeycomb isn't about sex.
Yeah, it is, because of all the lyrics. And then,
More ways of showing and not telling. Yay!
so when Petunia reprises it, though, was she there the first time? That Lena, when Lena Horne sings
She
it?
might have been walking around outside. She enters right after she's done singing it.
Okay.
So she's not, she's probably within earshot.
Because.
A good, as actors, we like to have a moment before, and it's like, and also that's her song, right? Like, as they say, oh, play Petunia's number. That's her song. So chances are, sorry, it's not Petunia's number. It's George's
George's
number.
number,
Say,
yeah.
play George's number. Play George's number. So there's a real possibility that Petunia probably has heard it because that's George's song.
And she knows that her husband goes there and had an affair with her and everything.
Yes. So it is, again, it's just more ammunition for her. It's just like, give me, she's just like, you're just giving this to me for free. And I'm gonna, and I'm gonna take it to the, I'm gonna cash that in the bank before the check bounces. So let's go.
And then it's a dream. So do you think, do, okay, so let's speculate. I want to speculate
Sure.
for a hot second. Do you think that this scared him straight? Like he is on the path to go to heaven and he is going to actually stop gambling and everything?
So I guess that's an interesting question because we know now that gambling is a type of an addiction, right? It's
Yes.
addictive behavior. So a part of me is wants to say yes, but the other part of me that knows that the science behind it is like probably not. Now that said, he had a fever dream, and fever dreams can shock you as a person because it's, your brain is literally cooking while it's happening. So anything, I suppose anything is possible, but I'm going to say sadly, probably he might be good for a little while, maybe even a long while, but eventually it might come to bite him again. He might get bit by the bug.
Yeah, cause even in that dream sequence, that I'm so mad that it's a dream sequence.
So man, the whole
Like,
thing was a goddamn fantasy.
he is doing fine. He got a real job at that company that we see him, and he's saving money. He bought her that electric washer,
Yep, so she doesn't have to hand wash laundry anymore.
which
That's how she's making money.
I hope that he does that too in like this second chance that he
For
has.
in the real chance, yes.
Yes. Where he's like, okay, so I'm going to stay on this path and forget everything. So then that means, so wait, then that means that he imagined his imaginary friends that he doesn't see.
Well, yeah. I mean, it could be very meta like that, or we could say, well, maybe he was dead briefly, and then, he came back for a little bit, and he came
And
back.
everything that happened while he was what in the dream sequence is another manipulation of heaven and hell.
Yeah.
Huh.
We could go Inception if we want.
Oh, I'm gonna need to lie down after this one.
I think it's one of those things where it's much easier if you when you suspend your disbelief, and which is it's which in this movie to a certain extent it's kind of easy to do that, especially if you're an atheist or agnostic and you don't think heaven and hell is a real thing. It's like, oh yeah, whatever, it's all make believe. So I suppose you can lean into that if you really if you're struggling, is just recognize like there's a certain element of make believe that has to be present in order for this story to be told.
Now, do you, one last question
Sure.
that I have. Do you think this could be revived today, the show?
I would love to see that happen, but I would want the original ending for
Oh, of
sure.
course. Of
For
course.
sure,
Yes,
I would
yes, yes.
want the original ending. I wonder how it would be received by audiences today. I'm curious of how it would be received.
Because from what I've seen of this movie, and again, I don't know the show
It's
really.
my understanding is it's similar, except for the fact that like it's the leaning it leans way heavy into the fact that the majority of it's a fantasy.
Right, and there's a lot of songs that they wrote for the movie that they and there's songs that they cut from the show. But I don't know if any, like, I feel like this is a such a wholesome story. I don't think it needs like we can update it even to still be gambling and everything, and it'll still work.
All the things that get discussed in this movie absolutely are still problems we have today.
Yeah.
So
So
it's the relatability is there, I think.
like I said, that I think it's supposed to be just set in the South, American South, as a location. I feel like it's a everywhere story, and it's an every time story. 'Cause yeah, I mean, you could set this in the 80s and still have the same problems. You could set it now. You could set it probably like in the 1700s, it'll still be the same story. Like we could have the same story. It'll just be like the details are a little different here and there.
The cast stays the same. The setting and the time period can change. That's kind of, is
Yeah.
that what you're saying?
Yes. I mean, I feel like it would work. It doesn't have to be an encore. I feel like they could just go straight to Broadway and everything. And
I would say go off Broadway first. Kind of do like some like Playwrights Horizon signature theater thing, see how things
oh
go.
yeah,
And if things go well, then move.
not
I'm
necessarily do an out of town, but like
an in-town, out-of-town. An in-town tryout is really what it ends up
yeah.
being. And that's becoming, I think, more and more common, especially in New York City. We're seeing that with, I can't reveal a ton of details, but we're seeing it with a bunch of shows that start in smaller houses. See how they go, see how they sell, and then watching them kind of move or not move,
Like the
depending on how
public.
things go. Yeah,
The public
Public is good
theater.
for that. Playwrights often has that kind of stuff as well. 59 East 59th Street, all of them, where they
Yeah.
just are like, we'll start here, see how things go, and then make a decision. And that's also a good way to get investors interested too. Is so that you can come with them with actual numbers of like, this is how many shows we've had, this is how we're selling, this is how if we were to upscale it, scale it out, see how it would go in the grand scheme of things, like this is what our projection of funds is.
Yeah. Is there anything else though you want to talk about before we get into Strap and Fly At?
Let me check my notes, because I just, like I said, I really like this movie. I really, really do. I think that there's just so much in it, even though it is like there are so many other stories that are close to it that I think are more well known, Carousel and Damn Yankees being two that we've already talked about. I enjoyed it. And there's a part of me that's like, do I need to even break down why I enjoyed it? I'm like, no, I just really enjoyed this cast. I really enjoyed the songs. This felt like time well spent.
Great.
Oh, yeah. And by the way, in case anybody's wondering, I caught it on Amazon Prime because it wasn't available on demand. It wasn't available on Max. So I was like, dang it, here's my $4. Let's go.
Oh, I'm having issues with Prime at the moment at the time of this recording.
I
So
heard. I'm sorry.
I found it on Apple.
There
So
you go.
all right, let's get into Strap and Flat, shall we?
Let's do it.
Sharp. Flat.
So in this section, we're going to highlight some moments, whether or not we talked about it. If we liked it, it's sharp. And if we didn't like it or thought it could change, it's flat. What would you like to start with?
Hold on, I need to pull up the actual imagery image that I want to talk about, because it's the precursor card to the movie is something I really
Oh,
liked.
I wrote it down, so I
Oh,
have it.
perfect. Can you read it to the audience? Because I
Yes.
really, really liked it.
So wait, is this going to be one of your sharps? You want to
Yes.
start with sharps?
Yeah.
Okay. So,
It's
Lauren,
sharps and flats, right? Oh, wait, do you want to? Wait, I'm sorry. Are we starting? Time
I asked you what you wanted to start with.
out. Are we starting with sharps or flats?
Get the
Okay.
giggles out because I'll set it up again for you to spike it. You
I'm
ready?
sorry, I'm an idiot. Which one are we starting with?
Lauren, what would you like to start with?
Let's start with sharps, since this is sharps and flats.
Okay. So, what is your Okay, so let me go first with my sharps and then we'll continue. So I sharped that we didn't see the game that led to the shooting, that it was all off screen. I really did like that. I sharped the devil horns as spikes, and I also sharped Petunia showing up the gamblers. Now, okay, that was a thing that I was a little confused by. So they use like loaded dice or something to.
Yes. In
Got
order
it.
to steal his money.
Got it. So when she
Yeah.
shows, when she plays, duh, God, fuck it. My last sharp is for Ethel Waters. She was so good in this. Granted, she did have some time practicing it on the Broadway, but she was so good. Like playing dumb, her sing. She has a voice of an angel. What are your sharps?
Okay, I have been actively going to church for a very, very long time. My entire childhood and teenage years, I went because I had to, and now I'm an adult and I get paid to be there. So it's a very different circumstance. Don't make a face, it's true. I have to be honest. I'm like, I do have a contract with the little baby Jesus.
It's a job, but also
It
you
is
are
a
re
job.
repenting.
Yes. So there's the opening scene, they're singing Little Black Sheep, talking about all the sinners coming in to repent their sins and join the flock again. What I loved is watching the gossip about Little Joe fly through the congregation, because I have seen that happen in real life, and it is beautiful when it happens. When you watch, you're like, oh, so-and-so's here, so-and-so. Oh, did you hear that so-and-so's coming back? Do-do-do-do-do-do.
Oh, is that so? That's what the gossip is, that Joe is coming back to church.
Yes. And Petunia's been trying to drag him this whole time for all these
Got
years.
it.
Yes. So I loved that moment. I also wrote Blessed Be Ethel Waters. I'm glad that this role got captured on film. I'm
Yeah.
really happy for her and for all of us, because now we get to see it forever. I talked about the bass and how much happy I was to hear like a real bass voice in a movie musical. I'm like, I will take that all day. It's like butter. I love it. I love it. I love it. Oh, the line, "Give a man money, watch him act funny," tickled me pink when the devils are talking about that, because I was like, that is something else that, we are seeing that play out right now in real time, with the current court case of Donald Trump, and with Jeffrey Epstein and Harvey Weinstein, and like all of these men, Sean Puffy Combs right now too, because that's super current. I'm like, what? I'm just like, that is, I've never heard it put that way, where it's rhyming that way, but I was like, that is solid gold, very real,
Yeah,
inescapable.
and there's a list of people that you're like, you're next, get
Exactly.
ready.
Yep. So I'm gonna keep that line. I'm gonna keep that for myself. Give a man money, watch him act funny. Yes. And I also loved the first scene between Georgia Brown and Lucifer Jr., where he was just like, where she wasn't saying anything. And Lena Horne doesn't have many lines in this movie, but her acting is so good without using any goddamn words. And like that scene, we're talking about invisible scene partners. I was like, I thought those interactions between her, Georgia, and Lucifer Jr. were dynamite. I thought they were so good.
Yes.
Yes.
Did you want me to read? Did
In
you
a
want?
second, yes, I promise I'm getting there. Oh, and the second to last thing is, I like the use of shadows in the storytelling,
Yeah.
which again goes into the whole showing, not telling thing, where they were using a lot of shadow play to get points across at various points. The first one being when we see Lucifer Jr. for the first time, and then later we get it with Domino. It happens throughout the movie where the use of shadows to promote storytelling is really, really cool. It's a low budget, highly effective tool.
Right, especially that entrance of Lucifer Jr. is just. I'm gonna agree with you on that. That's sharp. Lucifer Jr.'s entrance is just so. You get everything with that, with
Yeah.
and like you're saying, it's showing you everything without being like, "I'm the devil."
Yep. It's like, oh gosh, I know exactly what's going on. And then, yes, the last one is the precursor card to the movie. We get all the opening credits. And this was, I've seen this in a few movies from that particular time period where you, it's sort of like what we would call program notes in a playbill, where the director, producer, whoever, like lets you know, like, hey, this is what you're about to see, kind of thing. And I really liked that, the one that they utilized for this movie.
So this is like for a semi-modern comparison, this is like the opening scroll to a Star Wars movie,
Yes.
basically, was what Lauren is talking about. But for this one, it's very different, obviously, than Star Wars. It
Yes.
says, throughout the ages, powerful and inspiring thoughts have been preserved and handed down by the medium of the legend, the fable, and the fantasy. The folklore of America has origins in all lands, all races, all colors. This story of faith and devotion springs from that source and seeks to capture those values. So, yeah. When you and once you read that, you're like, ah, religion is going to play an aspect. It is. But like
I mean, good and evil is not like is not just religion only. Like, good and evil exists all over the
all over
place.
the place, yeah. But like this is the oldest form of good and evil, which is religion,
Yes,
you know.
yes. Good point, good point.
Yeah. But it's not, but even though religion is a huge aspect of this, I wasn't bothered by it. Like, I'm not a very religious person these days. So to me, it's I didn't it wasn't like other films that I've seen where I'm like, you're clear. You're Jesus. I get it. You can stop pretending you're not Jesus.
It sits next to you nicely instead of hitting you over the head with the book. Repeatedly.
Okay.
Bam, 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 bam.
Let's get into flats.
Okay, you first.
My first flat is for Joe singing, and I'm using air quotes around that. He
It
can't,
was
I
sort of.
know he can't help. I know the actor can't help it because that is his voice. I wish they figured out a way around it. Make it a patter song. Make it a little more talking than singing. Do something different because, like, when he was screaming. He was so screaming for some of those notes.
Yeah, it was a reach.
Yeah, and my last flat really is for Petunia's 180. It just felt so over the top.
Yeah, well, I think also came out of nowhere. I think that's also why it was just like, what the hell is this? I
Yes,
agree. That's true. I think that there was some, maybe something was cut that would help segue a little bit because.
I wish there was a song or maybe a, because like that's what I was thinking prior to her turn was like, devils, you're complicating the plan. You should corrupt Petunia and
Yeah.
that'll then crumble Joe, which it did. And so like that should have been the plan, which then it would make more sense. Or convert or like kind of conversely, we see a scene with her and the devil, the imaginary friend devil, and he's convincing her to do all this. Like
Right.
there, like yes, I agree with you. Something was cut. We needed a transition period from her losing her shit from seeing Joe and Lena Horne to then her at the bar. There needs to be something in between.
It's abrupt. You're absolutely right.
Yeah. What about, and that's it for my thoughts. I honestly thoroughly enjoyed this movie. It like, and those aren't really flat, like flat flats. Like they are just my qualms with it.
Those are your flats today. And you know,
Those are my
perception is
flats today,
everything.
yes.
And like I said, I think I said to you a couple of weeks ago, I was like, you know, now Red Sox is the base for everything awful in movie musicals.
You know
So
what? You're
that's
right. You are
We found
100% right.
we have found the bottom. We know where it is. And so it's kind of it puts everything else into perspective. It's like, okay, I'm like, that's what I'm basing all my flats on from now on. No, I'm kidding. But like it's not like, oh right, okay. I don't really have any flats. I think I agree that it does take some time for this movie to ramp up. To get moving, like the inertia that we feel in the first half hour is very real. And that might be my only real, that's my only problem with it, is it does take a little bit. That when I say that, it's also because I was like, oh, I can look at my phone right now, nothing's happening.
Yep.
That for me is a tell. That is one of my tells personally when I watch something, is if I'm going, where's my, I need my pacifier, I need my toy, my phone. That's no, but seriously, like that. But for 80% of the movie, this little guy, my pocket computer, wasn't even looking at it, other than to like type in notes really fast, and then I would pause. I was pausing the movie to type in notes, which I don't usually
Oh,
do.
look
I'll
at
usually just let the
you.
keep going. I'll just be like, oh, I'll write and listen at the same time. But I actually paused and was like, D -d 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 oh, I really like this. Oh, I really like that. Da -da 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 -da. So, yeah.
Would you add any of the songs to your life's playlist?
I really like the titular song, the duet Cabin in the Sky. Oh no,
Yeah.
my, yeah. Sorry, my iPad's about to die. We're good. We're gonna make it to the end of the episode. I know we are. We're good. No, I really like the titular song. It's a sweet duet because it's the first time you can see him, Joe, be really sort of honest about who he is.
And then the harmonies kick in. You're like, oh,
It's so,
music.
yeah, it's so sweet because, she knows she's going to the cabin in the sky, and it's the first time you really hear him, at least in the movie, say out loud, like, I might see, I'm just going to pass it by though. Like, I'm not going to get to go there with you.
I agree with you, but I also wrote down Old Ship of Zion. I really did like that one. Like, what's fascinating is that Little Black Sheep was written for the movie, but Old Ship of
Yes.
Zion was from the show.
Yes,
So
from
it's
the
like,
musical.
but what I also really enjoyed is that the music didn't sound disjointed from the different writers.
No, it sounded like it all came from the same place. And especially when you kind of know like what it took to get all of those people to agree on something. Check out the Wikipedia page, everybody, because I guess, of course, it's Wikipedia, hefty tablespoon of salt with whatever information we gather from there. But oh, of course, and now the phone's ringing. I don't, it's just wild over here today in Woodmere. I'm gonna wait for it to
Hold, we'll
stop.
hold.
Because the
Somebody
phone's
at
right
the
next to me.
door?
No, it's just, it's it, they have a landline.
Gross.
These are adults, John. They're not us.
Oh, they're real adults? Got it.
They're retired adults,
Retired adults.
All right, anyway, so check out their Wikipedia page because, like I said, heaping tablespoon of salt with any information we gather from Wikipedia, of course. But you get a real clear picture of how, the conversations that went into making this piece possible, and all the really trying to get all these different minds to agree on a single way of storytelling.
And what's really interesting is that for the movie, the lyricist for Little Black Sheep, Happiness is a Thing Called Joe, and Life is Full of Consequences is EY Harburg, who initially Vernon Duke reached out to do the show with him. And EY Harburg was like, no. So then he
And
did
I
the
think
movie, and I
it's,
was like, what
yeah.
is this?
Well, isn't Yarberg and is Yarberg and Harold Arlen that wrote those three songs, right?
Correct.
Those are the two dudes from Wizard of Oz, is right? I'm almost positive.
Yes.
Oh, there you go. We'll do movies, but we won't do theater productions.
Well,
It's too beneath our level of expertise now. We
he
want that
had
movie money.
a Harburg thought the composer was incapable of writing the kind of score the play required.
That was
And that
it.
is from Wikipedia.
Yes.
So
Again, heaping tablespoon of salt.
yes. So, yeah, I mean, he may have thought something similar, but that's what was in quotes. But anyway, Lauren, we're done with the episode. We did it. He did Cabin in the Sky.
Oh, yeah. Listen, everybody should take the opportunity. I don't often say this on this podcast, but take the opportunity to watch this movie.
It's worth it.
Okay? It is actually worth your time.
It's
I
worth the
can't.
$4 or however long it, however much it is to rent it at this point.
Yeah, well, I realize it's because Amazon owns MGM now. So that's why, that's a part of me gets mad when I give Amazon money. But you should give Amazon, I can't believe I'm saying this, give Amazon your $4.
And if not, give it to Apple
Oh no, or
TV.
give it to John. John would like a sponsor, so
I
let's
would
do
like money. I would like your $4, please and thank you. But Lauren,
Yes.
what do you have to plug or promote?
You know, the beautiful thing is I think I'm going to have a very calm summer, but things will be ramping up come September. Have some performances coming up throughout the city, readings of new musicals in the fall. But right now, I am enjoying my days on the beach and my nights teaching. I have no complaints. 5 stars. Would rebook.
And if you know what, if you saw the 2016 encores of this, or if you've seen a production elsewhere of this show, I'd love to hear about it. Tell me like some more things that are different from the movie, please and thank you. You can email me at buttersongpod@gmail.com, us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok at buttersongpod. Yeah, what did you think of Ethel Waters?
And Lena Horne
And Lena Horne.
and Duke Ellington and Louis
Louis
Armstrong
Armstrong,
and
yes.
what a cast. I mean, I forget, I feel bad, I forget the name of all the other male actors, but what a cast.
And I just exited that page. And if you want to be part of the next episode's conversation, we're going to be talking about the 1995 TV movie version of Bye Bye Birdie. Lauren, thank you so much for coming back on. I know this is your second home.
It is. Oh, I guess it's worth mentioning. I'm a regular panelist on another podcast. So if you want to check us out, it's called Bitch Please with an asterisk as the I. You can check us out. We talk about pop culture, all things ridiculous and funny. So that's actually where you can find me. We've been doing one episode a month, and we are just getting ready to start doing 2 episodes a month with celebrity guests coming on. It's very exciting. I didn't, oh, John's making a face because I realized I didn't tell you any of this. So John is finding this out for the first time. You can listen to us on Spotify or Apple Podcasts, really anywhere you find your pods, you can find us.
So when I ask you if there's anything you want to plug or promote, and you were
I mean,
like, my days on the beach and teaching less voice lessons at night, living my best life, that's what I wanted. I wanted you to plug
okay, well, I just did. I'm
that
sorry. I'm just slow. And
podcast.
that's I the my cough, I have coffee, but it's over there, like
It's
6 feet away from me, so I haven't been able to reach for it for the last hour. So
Fine. Fine, we're almost done anyway. So, Lauren, again, thank you so much for coming back on. Everyone, thank you for listening, and bye for now.
ciao.
Lauren, you can now have your coffee.
Thank you.
Special thanks to Aaron Troy for creating the pods artwork and to Nick Bombacino for composing the theme song and the jingles. A huge thank you to CastBox for hosting this podcast. And thank you again for tuning in to today's episode of Life's But a Song. Bye for now, everyone, and have a musical day.